Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Slime Grind Radio, the only podcast dedicated to grinding slimes in no time. It is episode 3, and if you've been keeping track, well, good for you, because it's been almost a year since we last recorded an episode. That is way too long, and we apologize for that, but yeah, today is September the 1st, 2014. Our last episode was October of last year. So our track record is inconsistent, to say the very least. But we are coming to you today because Sony just held their pre-TGS press conference last night. I was up at 2 a.m. watching that bad boy. And in that, they released some Dragon Quest news, so we are going to talk about that today. But first, let me introduce myself and my wingman today. I am Bradley Hale, and joining me, as always, is Ryan. Ryan, how are you?
I'm pretty great. Thank you. It has been a while on this. I didn't know it was almost a year, but I guess that's what happens when there's not much Dragon Quest news to talk about.
We release an episode about as much as Square Enix talks about localizing a Dragon Quest game. So I figured, actually, we're kind of right on par with where we should be.
That's true. And we actually release these episodes in the West.
Yes.
And not just for mobile devices.
Yes. They are in English, and they are not for your tablet. So that's good news. Last night, let me just say, even outside of the scope of Dragon Quest, a pretty decent showing despite getting off to a very kind of weird start for Sony discussing their stuff for the upcoming games on Vita and PS4, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like, the first hour, I was just completely filled with regret as to, like, staying up, because, like, I'd like, downed a Diet Coke at, like, 10 p.m., and I was like, all right, I'm ready to do this, and then I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I throwing off my sleep schedule for this when they were just showing, like, B-sides of, like, Ubisoft's E3 conference?
There were so many Western games. It was like, I remember I was just watching it for the first 20 minutes. I'm like, what the hell is happening right now? Like, is this real life? Why are we talking about The Crew and Assassin's Creed and Killzone and The Order and whatever other generic Western shooter they decided to throw into that conglomeration of bad games? But it was very odd. And then they kind of like did this weird sneak announcement of Hot Shots Golf. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, but then I think, like, Hot Shots Golf was, like, the tipping point where I was like, okay, I'm sort of interested again, and then like, the cool stuff started coming.
Yeah, that's when they turned it up, and I think realized that they were actually presenting games to a Japanese audience, and they're like, okay, yep, time to talk about the stuff that they care about. What sucks is, I stayed up for the first, I guess, 50 minutes, 45 minutes? And up until that point, I hadn't really seen anything all that great. Apparently, though, I fell asleep right before all the good stuff started happening. I'm looking back at my Twitter timeline to see what the last cool thing was that I saw, which I think was the Bloodborne. Yeah, it was the Bloodborne February release date that they gave, which is awesome because I am so looking forward to that. But that's neither here nor there. That's not Dragon Quest. So, yeah, where should we start?
Well, I mean, I guess we can just talk about the, you know, they showed a bunch of cool stuff and, like, kind of got me back on their side towards the end there, like, you know, showing a new East game for PS4 and Vita and Persona 5, like, our first look at what seems to be like the player character, and showing that that's going to be for PS4 as well. And then, you know, the Resident Evil Revelations 2 worst kept secret in video games finally being confirmed. And, you know, they seem to be, you know, going all in with the horror aspect. So, I mean, there's a bunch of, like, cool stuff. So I was like, all right, this turned out pretty good. And I actually thought, like, the conference was over because they showed, like, the montage of, like, upcoming games. And I was like, okay, that was all right. And then, they're like, one more thing, number 44. And then it was, like, the Square Enix logo came on, and I was like, oh, okay, they're actually going to show Final Fantasy 15. That's a real game.
And that's then, a thing.
Yeah.
It's not just a domain name.
But, no, it was Dragon Quest music kicked in, and, I mean, they had, they were, you know, flashing the names up there, and, like, Hori's involved as a director, you know, Toriyama's doing art, Koichi Sugiyama's doing the music, so, like, it's like, wow, this is, like, the actual, like, Dragon Quest crew.
The whole gang's involved. Back together.
Yeah. And then it, like, kicked into the trailer.
So I wasn't, like I said before, I wasn't watching live. Did the Japanese crowd react?
No. Because they did not react the entire conference,
anything?
Which is
okay, yeah.
So weird. And it's like, why even have a live audience for something like this?
Yeah, it was such an interesting juxtaposition, especially coming out of like E3 and then Gamescom and even PAX, to see like these live conferences in the West where audiences just go nuts over some of the announcements. And I think that's like part of the experience and why I love watching the conferences live is just to see, it like really draws you in and you feel like you're kind of part of something a little special. But last night with what I saw anyway, it was just like complete silence. They pulled out the pink Vita and I was expecting some kind of audience reaction. There was nothing. Even with the Hotshots Golf thing, you know how the Japanese are with their Hotshots Golf. It was just nothing again. I was like, this is weird. This makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, totally. And it, what's really weird about it too is like creators were coming up there. Like Kojima came up and was talking about PT and he's like, have you played it? And like, it was just silence. And I think Negoshi said something during the Yakuza thing, like asking the audience a question, and it was like dead silence, and it's just super awkward.
Man, what is that?
Yeah,
because that hasn't historically been the case. Like, I mean, I've watched plenty of Japanese conferences where crowds are interactive and are like providing feedback to what they're seeing. I don't know if it was just kind of like a weird coincidence yesterday or what that was all about, but I hope to never see it again.
Yeah, or maybe that was like what was mandated by Sony. They were like, you're just gonna sit here and take notes and not react. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyways, I was reacting and Twitter was reacting, which I think Twitter is really what makes conferences fun anymore. But yeah, I mean, I had like total chills through this DQ reveal trailer.
I wish I would have stayed up just a little bit longer. Like I wanted to be a part of that. 'Cause you're right. Twitter is it's being on Twitter during a big reveal is one of my favorite things to do when it comes to like the gaming community. I just remember back to Nintendo's kind of E3-ish conference where they were just like releasing one thing after the next. And then with all of the Treehouse stuff, Twitter was such an integral part of how much I remember and how I remember that experience that I wish I could have been there for this reveal of Dragon Quest Warriors, or I'm sorry, Dragon Quest Heroes, although it should be called Dragon Quest Warriors.
Wow.
Freudian slip, talk about a parapraxis. So, but yeah, so I wish I would have been a part of that. Nevertheless, I woke up this morning and there was plenty of stuff that I had to go through on my timeline that that showed me that this was a thing, and then I just started feverishly looking it up and watching the trailer over and over and over. But enough setting the groundwork. Let's just dive in to what is being called Dragon Quest Heroes. You want to give audiences kind of an overview of what this thing is?
Well, according to the text in the trailer, they're saying like this is an action RPG. It looks very Musou. I mean, they're claiming it's not a Musou game. One of the producer on the game, I think, was on Twitter and said something about that, and like it does say like in the splash text during the trailer that this is an action RPG. But anyways, they showed it's a new cast of characters. They seem to like skew a bit older than typical Dragon Quest cast, it seems to me. What do you think of these four new characters?
I noticed that too. I mean, traditionally, and I not just with Dragon Quest, but practically any RPG of the Japanese influence, they love their adolescent heroes. So it was interesting to see the trailer and we're just basing this off of what, like a minute and 44 second trailer, but
yeah.
But yeah, the characters did look quite a bit older than that typical kind of 13 to 16 range that we often see.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, with what we saw, with what characters were shown, I think it's interesting that they're going to be kind of melding together two approaches of bringing back past favorites, classic icons from the series, and then also building up a roster of fresh faces specifically for this title. It'll be interesting to see what happens with those original characters going forward in the Dragon Quest franchise if they make any other cameos. But I'm actually more excited to play these new characters than I am to mess around with Mina or Terry or anyone else that may make an appearance when they finalize the roster or announce that. I kind of want to see the new folks. That, for some reason, just seems really cool to me.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, a really exciting thing, is seeing, like, you know, new Dragon Quest characters, because you know we didn't really get that with 9 or 10, like, because it was, you know, you create your own character. And I mean, I think like the last game we got like a new Dragon Quest characters was like Dragon Quest Swords with like the gothic Lolita girl.
And hey, don't talk trash about Swords. I love that game.
No, it's totally a cool game, and I really like her character design, actually.
Yes, she's so cool.
But yeah, like I really like those two new female characters. Like the blonde fencer lady, she appears to be like a knight of sorts. It says like, and this is just going off my like very basic Japanese reading ability, but like her name in katakana when they showed it up there was Maya. And then there was the girl with like some sort of like weird steampunk gun, and that was Julieta, or I would assume Juliet, maybe. And like she looked really cool, and like she looked like kind of like definitely older. Like she looked like a woman in her like 30s or maybe 40s, which is like super weird for a Japanese RPG,
but would be super awesome.
Yeah, like I love it.
Something about this like middle-aged woman just kicking ass in a Dragon Quest game gets me super stoked.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll probably like say, "Oh, she's 19 or something."
Of course, yeah.
But I don't know. Like, she definitely looks older, and like that's kind of cool.
So from the original characters, there were four, right?
Yeah.
So we saw Juliet, Maya, the two guys. The first guy who looks to be kind of the flagship hero here was that Aikuto.
You know, I didn't even, like, write down their names, the two guys, because I was, like, mostly just super into the female character designs.
Well, damn it, because I was gonna ask you if you caught the big, lumbering old dude with the giant beard and shoulders the size of the state of Texas. He looks super awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, definitely, like, those are, I don't know, I like all four of the characters, for sure.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm going through the trailer right now to see if I can catch his name real quick.
Oh, okay.
Nevertheless, yeah, these four are really cool, and I think why I'm so excited about the idea of bringing in new characters into the DQ universe is it makes this feel less like an irrelevant spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll preface this by saying that I'm super super psyched about Hyrule Warriors. That's going to be fantastic. But it feels like I don't need to play it. Like, if I just skipped over it entirely, even though I never would, but if I decided to for whatever reason, I wouldn't be missing out on anything within the Zelda, mythos or anything. So this, however, kind of introducing these characters that you've never seen before makes it feel important and kind of like I can't miss it because of that. Because I'm not going to get these characters anywhere else. It's not like I can go back and play previous Dragon Quest games and see, you know, Aikuto or Maya or Juliet or the giant barbarian looking dude.
Who's,
I'm only going to be able to get that here.
Yeah, and by the way, the giant barbarian dude, I pulled up the trailer now. Derek, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe, and then Aikuto. But yeah, I mean, there. To be fair, there is one new character in Hyrule Warriors.
That doesn't count.
But the one that they created, the blue-haired chick, I forgot what her name was, but she's cool looking. But I mean, I feel like Hyrule Warriors is like, there's no chance of that being like anything happening in that being like canon. It's a fan service game.
Yeah.
I mean, just like Gundam Warriors or something, and that's totally cool. Like, I'm so stoked for Hyrule Warriors. But this definitely feels like, it feels like a new Dragon Quest game, like an A-tier spinoff. Like, it's not a numbered game, but, like, it's up there with, like a Dragon Quest Monsters Joker or something, which is, like, a really polished, like, almost a real Dragon Quest game, it seems like.
I actually kind of liken it to Final Fantasy Tactics. Like, not part of the mainline series, you don't need to play it, it doesn't really matter. However, it's done so well that you take it serious, and whenever you talk about kind of the world of Final Fantasy, that game gets talked about quite often. This seems kind of like the same thing, where it's like, oh, this is a significant addition to this already fantastic universe. So this also kind of leads me down this train of thought of thinking of this as more than a Musou game. So what's interesting is earlier this morning, I read some story where there was a kind of a short interview with one of the producers of the game, and I don't remember which producer it was, but he mentioned that this wasn't a typical Musou title. Which, if you watch the trailer, it's kind of like, well, what? This looks exactly like a Musou title. Like, there's one character taking on mobs and mobs and mobs of bad guys and just killing people by the dozens with single sword slashes. How is this not a Dynasty Warriors game? But it got me thinking, okay, so if this isn't a traditional Musou or Warriors title, then is this going to be something more along the lines of Omega Force's action RPG that pretty much no one played, Trinity Souls of Zillow? That's kind of where I was going. If this is being billed as an action RPG, I don't immediately think of like the Warriors games as action RPGs. Those are just straight up beat 'em up, straight up action games. But tacking on that RPG element, you know, it says to me, hey, we might have a story, we might have like meaningful dialogue. There's going to be There are going to be plenty of customization options. This isn't going to be just jump in and kill a bunch of dudes for 30 minutes and then go on to the next stage. It sounds like it's got more depth, I suppose, is what I'm looking at. And if this is the case, if they're kind of going down that action RPG route rather than just straight up action, I really do hope it comes off as something more like Souls of Zalul, because that game was incredible how it melded together traditional RPG elements of this really kind of grand sweeping narrative with the characters that you actually cared about, but just the gameplay itself was straight up Dynasty Warriors, sometimes on a smaller level, sometimes on the same kind of big scale and big stage feel, but generally speaking it felt very different from your traditional Dynasty Samurai insert whatever Warriors game you'd like. So did you kind of get that vibe too from your research and from watching the trailer?
Yeah, and I mean, I've also been recently playing the first One Piece Musou on PS3 lately, and that game actually, like, has a lot of variety. Like, it's not just the typical, like, formula where, like, in typical Warriors games, you go, you, like, secure an area, you kill, like, the boss, and then you move to the next area. And, I don't know, with One Piece, like, I feel like I'm doing a bit more exploring. You're not fighting, like, hundreds of guys in the same spot for, like, 10 minutes. You're fighting usually, like, 15 dudes, and then you move on to, like, another area, and you do some, like, a little bit of platforming. I mean, it's all, like, QTE platforming, but, and I don't know, there's parts where you're, like, you have to, like, deflect projectiles to, like, move past an area, and I don't know, like, I feel like they're definitely, the Musou series keeps getting more interesting, and I think Omega Force, like, are steadily becoming, like, better developers, and you can even see that in some of the variety in, like, Hyrule Warriors with, like, the adventure mode and stuff. Like, they're really trying to kind of shake it up and, like, you know, redefine what these games are while also keeping, like, the essence of, like, it's just kind of fun to play as characters you think are cool and, like, you know, beat up a ton of dudes. So, yeah, like, I've never played Trinity, and, like, now I totally want to, and I might actually end up ordering a copy soon, but...
It's super cheap on Amazon.
Yeah, I just looked it up. And
how much is it going for these days?
There's, like, used copies for under $20, so. But yeah, like, I don't know, I'm interested, because this did, you know, it showed, like, the cutting through seas of slimes and whatever, but then there was also, like, there seemed to be, like, some pretty, like, large-scale boss fights and stuff in there. I don't know, yeah, like, I would definitely like the idea of kind of merging, like, a traditional action RPG, but also having, like, the super fun, like, Musou combat in there as well. But it's just gotta, the combat just needs to come in moderation, because I think that's the biggest turnoff for people with Musou games, is, like, they're super fun for, like, 15 minutes, and then you're like, oh god, like, I'm just doing the same thing. You get to the end of the mission, and you're not really compelled to go on to the next mission, because you're like, I'm just going to be doing the same stuff.
Yeah, you've seen the entire game within the first 60 minutes that you play.
Yeah, so that's why, like, I think it's cool, like, the stuff they're doing with, like, One Piece and Hyrule Warriors. Like, I don't know, I feel like the formula is really evolving, and I think it's probably going to come to a head with this game.
Well, yeah, and so I think that's really important in all of this, is I think if we sort of track Omega Force's trajectory of development growth, it's certainly been a slow one, because it's taken them a while to get to this, to the stage at where they're at now, where we're seeing more, like, gameplay diversity in their titles. But if, I mean, they've had years and years and years to kind of practice and hone their craft, and now are, I think they feel comfortable enough to where they can start branching out and trying new ideas. I'm glad that Dragon Quest Heroes is coming at the time that it is, because now they are starting to get some kind of different titles under their belt, so to speak, And I think that's only going to help this feel more polished, more comprehensive, more varied in terms of what it offers players. It would be too bad if this game came out 10 years ago when Omega Force was still trying to kind of hone their craft and really figure out what the hell they're doing as developers. But at this point, although it's taken them a while to get to this stage where they feel comfortable trying new things, I'm glad that, hopefully anyway, that Dragon Quest Heroes is going to sort of follow the trend that has been more common in their practices lately. Yeah, because we're not just going, I don't think anyway, and God, I hope not. I don't think we're going to get just straight up Musou action from start to finish. Whether they're bringing in elements of One Piece or Hyrule Warriors or Trinity or whatever, or what other games they've come up with lately that haven't been kind of run-of-the-mill stuff, I'm hoping that Heroes can kind of dip its hands into multiple jars to kind of bring this all together to create a conglomeration of various elements that kind of produce a really solid title overall. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this all goes.
Yeah. I mean, they're a developer that has, like, you know, my appreciation for them has, like, grown in probably, like, the past year. I would say, like, with the Hyrule Warriors announcement, the original announcement was when I kind of really started, like, taking them seriously and looking into their stuff. And, like, they did the Fist of the North Star ones, right? Did they do Ken's Rage or whatever?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so yeah, and those, like, I played those, and I was like, okay, this is, well, at least the first one. I didn't hear too good of things about the second. But, yeah, like, I was like, okay, there's, you know, this is, they're doing different things, and, like, and then, you know, I picked up the One Piece, and, yeah, I don't know. They're, like, on my, like, developer to watch list right now, even before this Dragon Quest announcement. So,
well, definitely, and I totally forgot that they even did Tokaiden for Vita.
Oh yeah, I just played the demo of that recently, and that was another one where I was like, whoa, this is really polished. It's,
yeah,
really good.
That game is a super good hunting title.
Yeah,
I actually like Tokaiden a little bit more than I like Monster Hunter, because I actually feel like it's less cumbersome, it's less plotting, it's less methodical. It's kind of just get in there and mix it up with monsters. So they kind of bring in elements of Monster Hunter while keeping that core Omega Force Dynasty Warriors feel. But then they also did Bladestorm, which I think is like one of the most underrated games of the last generation. So, I mean, we can see that over time, they certainly have become more confident in their ability to step outside their comfort zone. And I think each time they do that, they pretty much deliver. It's not like Omega Force produces bad games. I can't think of a bad Omega Force game. I can think of plenty of mediocre ones, but they're not bad. So yeah, they're definitely on my developer to watch list as well. It'll be interesting to see how this all pans out, because Dragon Quest Heroes, it's not like it's coming out in a year from now. It's coming out less than that. In the trailer, it was announced that spring was its release window.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's right around the corner. To me, that's 6 to 8 months away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what they showed looked really polished.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like the Hyrule Warriors reveal when you're like, oh my god, this looks like a PS2 game. Like, but yeah, no, this looks super polished and just really beautiful. Like, seeing Dragon Quest in, like, true, like, HD for the first time. Like, I know, like, the PC version of DQ10 and the Wii U version, but, like, that is just, like, an up-resed game, Wii game. But, like, this was, like, oh, man. Like, it looks so good.
Yeah, and I mean, just kind of from, like, an aesthetic standpoint, to me, one of the things that defines Dragon Quest is that kind of visual flair. It's a very bright, colorful game, always has been, and I think that's part of its identity. And from the trailer, from that a minute and 46 seconds, I think they've really kind of captured the feel of Dragon Quest. I remember, yeah, watching that Hyrule Warriors reveal, thinking, like, this is questionable. This does not feel like Zelda. Yeah, I see the characters, and they're all characters I've seen in the Zelda world, This, I'm not kind of getting that sense that this could be a Zelda game. Dragon Quest Heroes, however, really gave me that vibe, if nothing else than through its use of colors, through kind of the, as I said before, the gang getting back together and really delivering kind of a cohesive Dragon Quest presentation, whether that be in terms of music, character art, the use of colors, like I said before. So I'm very, very hopeful that this is going to be more than just a traditional Musou title, like we've been saying. I mean, I'm watching the trailer as we speak here, so I feel a little distracted, which this is like my 12th time watching the trailer. But just some of the attacks look super cool. I'm watching some of Aikuto's attacks, and they look great. The graphics are fantastic, which is interesting because the game is coming out on PS4 and PS3, which anytime I hear that, I immediately get a little nervous because I'm like, oh God, is the PS4 title going to be gimped? Because it has to take into consideration technology that works on both platforms. But this, I mean, it doesn't look like it's pulling any punches or cutting any graphical or presentation corners. So were you a little turned off by that and PS3 being added to its launch lineup?
Yeah, but, you know, that's everything. Like, there, I mean, you can count on, like, one hand, like, the amount of actual current-gen exclusives, like, retail exclusives that exist. I mean, everything is cross-gen, and it's gonna be that for a while. So, like, I wasn't surprised. You know, I mean, I still haven't purchased a new console yet, and I'm planning on it this year probably, but man, like, it's so tempting to, like, just be like, well, do I want the better looking versions of these games that are coming out that I want, or do I want $400? So it's, you know, I mean, I know that eventually there are going to be exclusives, and so, like, you know, you're buying into the promise of the future when you buy a console like close to its launch, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you want that, like, new mind-blowing kind of experience, but which, you know, I don't know if we've really gotten yet on the new consoles.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't think we're going to for a little while. I mean, the install base in Japan is fairly low at this point for the PS4, so it makes sense for games to kind of have these dual releases on PS4 and PS3. It's disappointing for me just because I want a developer to go all in and just say, you know what, this is just going to be next gen because it's where we're headed. I mean, at some point, the PS3 is going to phase out, so it's kind of like, well, what are we doing just kind of like biding our time with this thing? Let's just go forward. But I get why it's happening. I'm not surprised by it, just a little disappointed. But I did say that the PS3 was added to the game's launch lineup, which, through wording's sake, that means that there are other things coming out having to do with Dragon Quest Heroes. And the other thing that is launching alongside it, not only is that PS3 iteration, but a limited edition PS4, which is, in a word, beautiful. Have you checked it out?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I mean, I'm really glad it exists. I don't think it's something I would buy, though. Like, it's, I mean, it's cool. Like, it's silver, and there's, like, a slime up top that it seems to just, like, appear. I don't know, like, during the reveal, there was, like, it just sort of, like, emerged onto the system. I don't know the deals with that. But then there's, like, a metal slime, like, bubbling over the side of it.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. It's awesome.
I mean, it looks like you're just setting a toy on your PS4. Like, it doesn't really feel like part of the system, but I don't know. I mean, it's cool. Like, it's definitely not something I'll buy just because of the ridiculous cost of importing new consoles these days, especially limited edition ones. But yeah, I don't know. It's cool. Like, I mean, it definitely represents something, though, I think. And I mean, I think the whole Hori coming out on the stage and, you know, talking with the Sony guy, and like they were kind of like, yeah, long time no see. Like, it's nice to have you back. And here's this new game exclusive for Sony platforms, and here's a new Sony system based on the game. I don't know. I think it represents something. I'm not totally sure what quite yet, but I don't know. It was definitely a statement
Yeah, no,
in a
I think
way.
it definitely represents a commitment, a working kind of relationship between Sony and Square Enix going forward with kind of the Dragon Quest name, because Dragon Quest Heroes will be the first Dragon Quest title on PlayStation in a decade. So I think them coming out and saying, "Hey, you know what? We're going full in with this. We want to bring Dragon Quest back to the PlayStation brand." And I think it's a smart move for a number of reasons, but I think this definitely was a representation of that. So I will say, first off, I'll say that I am going to import the console because I freaking love it. It's
Nice. I'm glad you are.
yeah. Well,
That does make me happy, actually.
and I will take pictures and I will post them on Twitter. But nevertheless, for those that haven't seen it, it does come with kind of a unique color scheme because the system itself is silver, and on the top portion of, or I guess about half of the top of the PlayStation 4 itself, there is an emblem of a slime there, and then there's a slime kind of on the front of the PS4, and then there's an emblem of the slime on the controller. And then there is kind of this add-on that pretty much does look like a toy. It's a melted slime that you can just kind of sit on the edge of the PS4 itself. I was reading why they did this, and I guess they wanted it to look like they were melt like a blacksmith was melting down a slime to create a PS4, which is hilarious
Okay.
and makes that whole like melting slime thing make a little bit more sense, because if you just see it, you're like, what the hell is that? So
Okay.
there's a backstory to it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay. I'm warming up to it a bit now.
yeah, I'm good I can sell you on this. But and then kind of the last part that's really sweet is the controller's two-toned. So half of it is silver and the bottom half of it is white. And I don't think that's going to be made available anyplace else, especially because there is that slime logo on it. So this is like a collector's paradise, especially for anyone who loves Dragon Quest. And I can't pass this up. I know import costs are just through the roof when it comes to systems, but I am just going to bite the bullet and do it regardless. This isn't like the Final Fantasy 14 limited edition that they released, where like it was really nothing other than the Final Fantasy 14 logo on the HDD, but this is like its own thing that is not going to be able to be replicated anywhere else. And I mean, we know we're not going to get this in America, so I need this in my personal collection. It's coming home with me on launch day.
Very nice. Cool. So let's talk a little bit about the localization
Yes.
chances here. I mean, I think that if this game comes out and there's no localization announcement yet, I think I am just going to import it. What about, well, yeah, obviously you're importing the system, so and PS4s are completely region free, correct? Okay, cool. So yeah, hopefully they don't set a really nasty precedent and make this game region locked like the handful of games on PS3, but no, I think I'll definitely import it, but I don't know, I could see it at least getting localized as, at the very least, a digital title, because Sony has been, I don't know if it's Sony or if it's just like third parties on PlayStation platforms, but there's like all in the past 2 years, there has been a ton of niche shit being released on like PSN, stuff I never would have expected. And even from like big publishers, like, I mean, just seeing like the One Piece Musou games. Like, I never expected those. And like Saint Seiya and like all of those showing up on PSN completely localized. So I think the odds are good. The only thing that would hold it back is just Square Enix weirdness and how they're so weird about some stuff. Like,
and by some stuff, you mean Dragon Quest.
Dragon Quest, but I don't know. There's other stuff too, like with their digital catalog is kind of like a mess. Like, they have like barely any games on Virtual Console. Like, the Dragon Quest games have never been released on Virtual Console. Like, half of their PSP lineup is not available on PSN. So, I don't know. I mean, I would really... I could see, Sony here in the West, like, kind of really, like, pushing them for it. Because I think right now, the group of people who are kind of working at and running Sony here are, like... really understand that in order for your platform to succeed, you need a variety of titles for a variety of consumers. So I could see them really pushing, but I also, man, Square Enix just worries me sometimes. Like, I don't understand why they do what they do sometimes.
Yeah, trying to understand Square Enix is like trying to understand the mind of a madman. It does. There's no rationality to it whatsoever. Decisions just seem to be kind of made on the fly and on a whim, and without much forethought behind them. However, I will say this: I think there's a very high likelihood that we do see Dragon Quest Heroes in the West, mainly because I think Sony is going to push that. Secondly, though, I think Omega Force is going to want that. I can't think of many Omega Force games that haven't made it to the West.
Yeah, Tecmo Koei is a pretty prolific publisher here.
Yeah, man.
So, like, if Square Enix doesn't publish it, maybe they would.
Right, so I could totally see Koei Tecmo kind of pulling up the slack.
Yeah.
And taking the reins on that one. That being said, I think this would be a no-brainer for Square Enix, because... yeah, they've talked about their trepidation with regards to Dragon Quest and how much it sells in the Western market. But I think the sales numbers are there enough to warrant a localization, strictly because this isn't going to be the traditional super text-heavy, super resource-heavy venture that it would be for like a regular Dragon Quest RPG. Unless it's like this really involved narrative, I don't think that there's going to be a ton of translation needed. I think the benefits far, far outweigh the costs in this. I could see them going, if they are hesitant and if they're reluctant in any way, I could definitely see them going the digital route, not wanting to waste the capital on everything that comes with retail releases, which would be fine with me. As long as we get it, that's totally cool. That being said, if for some reason Square Enix decided to lock this one down and say, you know what, nope, it's not leaving the East, I don't even think that for Dragon Quest fans, that would be too... I don't think that would be too devastating. It's not like Dragon Quest X not getting, localized. We can play Dragon Quest X now, but so much of the experience just is not there because... reading is an integral part of MMOs and RPGs at large. This thing, however, yeah, we'd miss out on some dialogue and character interactions and presumably loads of fan service, but to me, all of that stuff is probably secondary to the gameplay devices, and so I would be totally fine with having to import this thing and not really being able to read it all that well because my Japanese is so poor. But I would be okay with it. I hope it doesn't happen. But worst case scenario in my book is it doesn't get localized and I play it anyway.
Yeah, same.
So, is there anything that we've missed?
No. I mean, I guess, like, so if this is the start of... I mean, okay, let me backtrack a bit. First of all, to me, Dragon Quest is... a series that should appear on as many platforms as possible. That's, I feel like it's a super accessible series. I think it appeals to all ages, like East and West. And, you know, I know they go where, like, the user base is the highest and stuff, but I think that's, like, a disservice in some ways, because really, I think these games should be made available for, like, everyone who has, like, a game-playing device. And, you know, we've kind of started to see that with Dragon Quest X, which is now on Wii, Wii U, PC, and soon 3DS.
And so, tablets.
And tablets, yeah. So, I don't know, like, I would like to, you know, see Dragon Quest spread out a bit, and, you know, like, I mean, obviously I'm a huge Nintendo fan, and it's awesome when Dragon Quest games come to Nintendo platforms, but, you know, I mean, there's just, let it be free. But that said, if this is the start of a new like DQ7-8 era, like Sony Dragon Quest era, I personally, the thing I would like to see the most is a remake of Dragon Quest IX for Vita with online co-op. That would make my life.
Oh, don't get me thinking about that. Because when that doesn't happen, my hopes and my dreams and my heart and my soul are going to be crushed.
Yeah, well, and it's not likely to happen. But, like, I was just, like, thinking about, because, like, you know, this morning I was doing some work around the house and just kind of thinking about, like, so what does this mean if this is Sony and, like, Square Enix kind of like back in bed regarding the Dragon Quest franchise? And I mean, you know, they've done remakes before of like stuff that was on different platforms. I mean, PlayStation 1 got a remake of Dragon Quest 4 in Japan, which was a Famicom game, and like, you know, 3DS got Dragon Quest 7, which was a PS1 game. So like that stuff does happen. But yeah, I was thinking about how amazing that would be. Like, yeah.
I don't think it would be too far-fetched to see previous Dragon Quest games that were not on a Sony system suddenly pop up in some kind of remastering or remake. And I think because of the popularity of Dragon Quest IX in both hemispheres, it would be a smart move for Sony and Square to kind of capitalize on that. I mean, Dragon Quest IX here in the West sold over 500,000 copies. That's insane, especially for the Dragon Quest franchise. So I think that they could milk this relationship for all it's worth. However, I don't see it happening anytime soon, because I think that sooner rather than later we're going to get that reveal of Dragon Quest XI, and I think we're going to see that coming for the PS4.
You think PS4? Wow, okay. I'm still saying 3DS, but like I would really like to see it be cross-platform. You know, like multi-platform, I guess. I think like 3DS, Vita, PS3, PS4, and Wii U, sure. Like, I don't know. I just put it on as many platforms as you can. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, when it comes to Dragon Quest, I just want people to be able to experience it. Not enough people have played it, and they need to, because as you said before, it's one of the most accessible role-playing games out there. For all ages, for really anyone of any kind. It's just such a fantastic RPG that gets overlooked, and a lot of that is Square Enix's own fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so we have covered all of the major topics from today's news regarding Dragon Quest Heroes. I don't want to say that we're going to be back for episode 4 anytime soon. I hope that we are, but I don't want to make that guarantee and then not be able to deliver on it, or deliver on it a year from now in September of 2015. So I will just play it safe and say this. We will be back sometime in the future. You can bank on that, but when, I'm not quite sure. So until then, you can check us out on Twitter and other places. Ryan, do you want to throw out some information on where folks can see your work and follow you?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Brawn Dwarf, BrawnDwarf. I'm on Miiverse, Nintendo Network, also at Brawn Dwarf. I'm on PSN at 4.0, FourPoint0. And I do a bi-weekly-ish podcast about Nintendo called Nintendo Fun Club Podcast. And that's Nintendo Fun Club Podcast.com. And I also have a sparsely updated Sega blog that I've been doing for a few years called Blue Skies Daily, and that's blueskiesdaily.com.
Indeed. And if you haven't, seriously, check out Nintendo Fun Club. It's a fantastic podcast that I follow. And I love Blue Skies Daily. I wish you updated it more than you did, because I'm a Sega kid at heart, and I always will be. So I love seeing the stuff you post there, just because it's not your typical kind of run-of-the-mill blog stuff. It's like really actual creative, unique approaches to talking about Sega products and just kind of how you experience them. You've done some really cool stuff with like the Shenmue blogs. Your recent, oh, what would you call that? Kind of your posting of the Phantasy Star Online kit, the model kit that you were doing, and kind of posting photos of that and your the process behind that was really cool. It's good stuff. So by all means, check out Nintendo Fun Club as well as Blue Skies Daily, and you can follow me on Twitter at Bradley Hailstorm. That's BradleyHailestorm. You can catch me on Nintendo Network at Azure Eternal. It's one word, AzureEternal. You can find me on PlayStation at Azure Eternal, same as I said before, except there's an underscore between Azure and Eternal. And you can read my work over at Hardcore Gamer. I'm an editor there and talk about all things JRPG and Japanese gaming related. So, thanks for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Goodbye, thank you.